preaching goes, it's all on him, amen? It's just try to be prepared, but if it's just one point, one subject, one thought that he wants to preach and expound upon, praise the Lord. If we get through several of them, praise the Lord, amen? But in Psalms 119, if you will, look at verse 49. In Psalm 119, look in verse 49, and we'll just read one verse, and then we'll talk about that just for a second and just skim through right here in Psalm, looking at several verses. But the Bible is complete. Not when I say complete, I mean it's a complete, not only can it feed you spiritually, it can help you in ways that people can't. Amen? People, in all honesty, try to help. We were just talking about that. They try in their best day, on their best state, they try to be in help, they try to be in encouragement. They try to just exhort, and they try to lift up, and they try to just try to get you closer to the Lord. And even in their entire sincerity, like Brother Keith looked at this morning with the nurse, even in their sincerity, they wind up actually hurting one another on accident. On accident. But the Bible is perfect, amen? If it cuts you, it's for a reason. If it just lifts you up, if it just tries to get you a little closer, if it just shows something positive once in your life or twice in your life, I actually remember doing something when I was somewhere and I was praying like, Lord, just show me something. And it was just the same verse over and over. And I couldn't believe it was on a positive connotation because I am my own worst enemy. Amen. Just a sinner saved by grace. And I magnify that and I compound it because I just know me. And I look myself in the mirror and I beat myself up and all those things. And it was just amazing how the Lord was just, it's okay. It's all right. You're doing a good job. Just paraphrasing. And just thinking, man, I'm doing a good job. I think I'm terrible at this. It's like, well, it's okay. Just keep fighting. Just keep going. Good. Just keep pushing forward. And this book right here knows you like a mirror. I can give you verses on all that stuff. But we won't even worry about all that. It just knows you, and it knows what you need, which is a far cry from any man standing behind a pulpit. You ever thought about that when somebody gets up and they preach a message? And you're just as though they just read your mail. They know exactly what you're going. I'm not talking about stepping on your feet as far as sin is concerned. I'm just encouraging, just giving you something that you need. And think about that. In a congregation of 5 or 500, it can all happen because the Lord uses just an imperfect man and a perfect book to promote a perfect God. Amen. And it's amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ and all his knowledge and all everything he could do gives us this book. If we'll just use this book, amen, if we'll just use this book and just stay in this book, just stay in this King James Bible, just use it, preach it, read it, meditate on it, it'll be a help and it'll be a hope and it'll be an encouragement and it'll just mold you and shape you. If I gave you a bunch of rules and regulations not out of the Bible, you know what it would be? My convictions. And then I'm trying to make you like me. But if I use this book, now I'm trying to conform you to be more like Jesus Christ, regardless how I stack up to it. Amen? So here in Psalms 119, verse 49, just one verse, it says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Which thou hast caused me to hope. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and just ask that you be on this time of preaching, this time of study, this time of teaching, whatever it might be direction-wise. God, I pray that you'd give me the words. I pray that you'd give me the illustrations, the thoughts. Lord, I pray that you'd bring things to my remembrance. I pray that you'd take things from my remembrance. I pray that you'd put a bridle on my tongue, Lord, and help me not say anything that might not bring you glory and you might not be pleased in. Lord, at the same time, just because you're so amazing and mighty, I pray that you'd help the congregation open up their ears and open up their hearts to your book. Lord, what it has to say and what it can do and what it is. And Lord, this is not some new thing. Lord, I'm not trying to teach or show anything new or preach anything new. Lord, I'm trying to just bring some things from remembrance that these people already know. And Lord, you use it however you see fit. Lord, whether it be an exhortation, an admonishment, a reproof, a rebuke, whatever it is that if somebody needs, Lord God Almighty, you know. You know, Lord, I'm just trying to do what you say to do. Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with it. Pray that you'd breathe on it. Lord, I pray you'd touch it. Pray that you'd help these people, Lord. Pray that you'd help me. Give us some strength to apply the things, just like Brother Scott was saying. Help us do something with it. Help us not be hearers only, Lord, but also doers. And I pray ultimately that you would just get the preeminence and the praise through it all. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So the Bible, right here in verse 49, says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, which upon which thou hast caused me to hope." So the first thing that the Bible can do, is it can cause you to hope. I'm going to just look at a couple verses. Look in verse 114, same chapter, 114. I have a bunch of verses in this little series or sermon or whatever this is, you might want to call it. We're not going to turn to all of them for sake of time because we'd be here all night, and I'm okay with that, but you might not be, so I'll be like Pharaoh and let you go, amen. But in 114, in the same chapter says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." And one more place, look in chapter 130, in Psalms chapter 130, look in verse 5. Psalms 130, verse 5, says a simple little passage here. Psalms 130, verse 5 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." But the Bible can cause you to have hope. Now I'll give you the definition of hope. The definition of hope is an expectation and a confidence in a future event. It's almost as if when I was in school, I could hope all I want to for a good grade. But if I didn't study, well, good luck. Amen. Now, if I studied and I thought I was going to do good, I could hope for it. I hope that you can put confidence in is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Salvation is your hoping and the Lord does his part. Amen. Does the Bible say he will? Amen. So it's an expectation. It's a future expectation. I hope to see him one day in glory. It would be good today to see him, singing that song, thinking about going home and just seeing him and not growing old, not having the pains and not having the heartaches and the cancers and the phone calls and the worrisome about my family and people and problems. And it would just be good to go home and be done. Everybody would just want it at the same time, amen? It'd just be good to go home. It would just be good. And I hope in that day that would be today, even though I don't think it is. But I'm hoping for that day soon. And you say, what is that? That's a hope of an expectation of a future event. I don't hope in many things except out of the Bible because therefore I'm just wishing upon a falling star, if you will. It's just some random thing you pull out of the air and you want to see happen. Lord, I want so-and-so to get saved. Well, what you doing about it? Well, then, just keep wanting. Amen? I mean, praise the Lord, if you don't pray about it and you just see them every day, you see them, man, I just wish they'd get saved, Lord. Well, put effort into action. Pray about it. Fast over them. Weep for them. And then go with a tearful, sorrow, broken heart for their soul. And you might be surprised what the Lord's already done. But you're hoping in something. Your hope is an expectation, a future thing. Here in these verses, you know why we have hope? Because of this book. I know the Lord's coming back because I say I can show you in Scripture. Amen. I'm hoping so because I know so. 1 John 5:13, it is these things are written. All this book is written down. You ever thought that all these are written down just for you? If nobody in the world ever picked up another Bible, the Lord would do it for you. People would die. They bled. They gave up their life willingly at a stake so this Bible could be took and brought to you if nobody else took it. I tell you what, that's powerful. You say, what is that? The Lord and this book can cause you to hope when really everybody around you has no hope. But here's the problem. Here's the problem that you can deal with. If you don't know what this Bible says, it's difficult to have hope except for what somebody just tells you. And then your hope's just based on somebody's personal opinion that you hope they're right. You got religions based on that. You have people that go to churches and they go to a little box and a confessional, if you will, and tell their problems and ask them and they plead, if you will, and they try to confess all their sins, which, honest to God, is a joke. Honest to God, amen. When's the last time? Don't say it out loud. When's the last time you just said, "Lord, I'm sorry for my pride, and my envy, and my covetousness, my anger and my bitterness and my wrath. much less tell some fella. Oh, we'd be easy to confess an outward sin. Amen. It's those inward sins of the heart that sure get close. It's just right there at the house. Amen. Those are the hard ones to just say, "That's thou art the man. That's you're right. That's me, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the issue. I'm the problem. I'm the one." But this book right here can give you hope. It'll give you hope. Look in Romans 15. And as you're turning to Romans 15, the hope that it gives you, as you're turning to Romans 15, it causes you to do some things. We won't look at all the verses, but I'll just spit them off to you. As you're turning to Romans 15, it causes you not to be ashamed. Romans 5:5 says that, hope causeth not to be ashamed, along with Philippians 1:20. It causes you not to be ashamed of some things. As you're turning to Romans 15, think about that. You know why somebody will witness to somebody else? Because they're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, because you have hope in what you believe of that future thing of you actually seeing the Lord one day. Maybe it's the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe it's that hope one day if you see those piercing eyes like Peter did across those across that barrel when Peter was warming his hands over that barrel of fire, and when that cock crew and he looked at the Lord and those piercing dove's eyes just saw right through him. Perhaps it's that hope of knowing one day those same eyes will look right through you at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That's terrifying even to think about. That I'll see a holy and a just God one day, knowing that I'll have to give an account of what sort of works it was in my life. What's even more scary is I'll have to give an account of every idle word that I said, that you said. You say, what is that? Well, that hope is that I know I'm going to happen one day, so therefore I do something about it. In Romans 15:4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." You hear people sometimes, I love how Brother Keith teaches through the Old Testament, goes verse by verse, and shows doctrinal and practical applications, because a whole lot of people don't do that. This is what they'll say. The Old Testament's for somebody else. We just live in the New Testament. I jokingly talk about every time I say something to a preacher friend of mine, I'll always give him that I'm preaching something out of the Old Testament. He'll always say, "You do know there is a New Testament." Amen? I said, "Well, yeah, but we make practical application." Right here in verse 4 of chapter 15 says that the whole Old Testament was written for three things. Our patience is written for our learning, our patience, comfort, and four things is hope. You think about that just for a second. Think about that as it sinks in. Is our hope. You think about over there in where David, where we're at in 2 Samuel, of all the things that he's going through, all the things that he went through. The Lord brought him through. Saul chasing him and persecuting him and trying to kill him. I personally don't have a physical adversary like that I have to wake up every day and think they're going to be knocking on my front door. Amen? Man, spiritually, I have an adversary called the devil like that, as a roaring lion, is seeking me. And the Lord, just like he did David's, just protecting me all the time. It's by his mercy and his grace I'm not consumed every day. It's just by his protecting hand that the devil really hadn't just wrung me out. It's not because I'm just good and so righteous, amen. It really is the mercy and grace of God that he just hadn't taken his hand off like he did Job and just let him have his will with me and my life and my family. Amen. You say, what is that? Well, you read the Old Testament of God's protecting hand and God's chastening hand, even the love of those people. You see the love of the Jews and how he actually did love them. A little bitty old group of folks, middle of nowhere, that nobody cared for. And it wasn't because they were so mighty and so great or so large or anything. There was nothing good about them. God Almighty just chose them, amen? It really is like that day he just called you and drew you for salvation's sake. Like a person's never good enough to get saved, like Brother Keith was just talking about. It's just by the grace of God, amen? By the grace of God. My dad told me something this weekend. Got to spend some time with him. And we were sitting there, and me and Brother Jerry, my father-in-law, had been riding around. We were talking about some things, and I said, "You know, Brother Jerry," I said, "I've never thanked my dad for all the sacrifices that he made just so I could have some things. Amen? And so we were sitting there, and I made sure it was just he and I, you know, because there's all kind of people around, and I made sure just he and I said, Daddy, I just want to tell you, I thank you for all the sacrifices that you made, because I know that it had to be hard. You're just you supporting two kids, and you working, and you gave us everything. And he said, honestly, it wasn't a sacrifice. I was thinking, you're nuts. I thought that. I said, yeah, you're nuts. He said, because if you love somebody, it's not a sacrifice. It's just love. And he just came to me. I said, you know, okay, I got it, Dad. And I was thinking, well, literally, honest to God, just how the Lord Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life, I got the sacrifice had to be made for sin and all that, just an Old Testament illustration and all that thing. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ never said he'd make a sacrifice. He just said, I did it because I love you. He loved the Father enough to go do it, and the Father loved the world enough to send the best he had. Not for sacrifice sake, just out of pure, unadulterated, no strings attached love. You say, what is that? Those things are written so you can have hope. When you don't feel like anybody else loves you, the Lord does. When everybody else just kind of shuns you and puts you to the back burner and nobody's around, nobody calls, nobody texts, nobody spends time, nobody fills in the blank. The Lord cares. According to Romans, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit pray for you. The Lord Jesus Christ makes intercession for you. And I can't even imagine how many times, I know it's not literal, because the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God the Father is out of time, and I can't even imagine the times that he would have to just make intercession for me and just have to ensure the grace and the blood was still applied. Just because he loves me. You say, what is that? That ought to just give you some hope. It ought to just encourage you a little bit. Because the world will beat you up. And you'll have problems, and you'll have issues, and you'll have hard times, and you'll have times that you won't see the end of the light, if you will. You won't see the end of the tunnel. And you can always be encouraged and have hope because those things are written for you. They're just written for you. I got that they're written for anybody that a whosoever will, amen. But what if nobody else will? Would you? Would you? He wrote them just so you could have hope. Just so you could have encouragement. Just so you could keep, just so you would finish your race. Just so you wouldn't quit. Just so you would have a right fellowship with him. Not about the person next to you. Not about the person behind you or in front of you. It's about you. It's about you. You having hope. You can't control anybody else, but you can control you. You can control you. If you will, right here in chapter 15 of verse 4, it says it right there in verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know what else the Bible can do? It can give you comfort. It says it right there in the verse. If you will, go ahead and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. People try to be comforting to others, amen? And praise the Lord for people that's been through some things. They've been through hardships and pains that are unfathomable. But honest to God, I believe they go through some things just to comfort others when they go through it. I can show you that in Scripture. If you want to write that down, 2 Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and it shows you that you go through things so you'll be able to comfort others. That ought to just tell you something while you're turning, that it's not about you. I mean, you've heard the old acronym, amen, J-O-Y, how to have joy in your life. You put Jesus first, others second, and then ye old self is last. Now that's easier to preach and amen than it is to live. Because self is all about me, amen. I want to make sure I'm taken care of. I mean, just being honest, amen. I want to make sure my needs are met, my fill in the blanks met. It's all about me. Well, no, it's about the Lord, and it's about others, and honest to God, it's about you last. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, most of you are familiar with this verse. These verses in chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, is just the rapture of the church, if you will. And we'll read it just for the context and for sake. Oh, look in verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." Let me pause for a second. You see in verse 13 that you could have hope? I mean, how all this is just interwound and interconnected. I didn't make it up. This doesn't even flow with how I've got it written down. This is just, amen. Verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, if you stopped right there, I could say amen, amen. I could just have a shouting good time thinking about going home, being with the Lord, and all the loved ones just rising up, being up there in the air, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing my Savior, being with the people that I love, not worried about sin and problems and heartaches, and I could just rejoice. Verse 18 says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Those words I just read should be able to bring comfort. But here's the problem. Usually these words don't bring much comfort because we don't put a whole lot of stock in them. It should be to the utmost ideal of being able to go home and you being comforted by it. Honestly, I've read that chapter and those verses I don't even know how many times. And there's only a handful of times that I'm actually comforted by reading that. They are just words in a book, amen? They're just words. But when you start believing it, then when you start meditating on it, when you start thinking about it, when you start putting it into practice, you know what it starts doing? It starts strengthening the mind. That's what comfort, the definition of comfort is. It's a strengthening of the mind. So you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're not just swaying back and forth. You're actually set. You're actually firm in your foundation, if you will. You're established. You're built up. And you're just stayed because these words are what you believe. I mean, I know where I'm at. We believe the King James Bible. Amen. We believe this is final authority and all faith and practice. Amen. Four of us do. Amen. Praise the Lord. The rest of you think it. And so being that and thinking that, we ought to actually look at these words and how they're alive and how they mean something. You ever think about what they actually mean? Think about that just for a second of what those words mean. One day, whether it be today or in 45, 60, 100 years, if I'm dead and gone, whatever, one day this event that's talked about and written down in this book is going to happen. The last trump's going to sound. Your name, according to the book of John, you'll hear your name, and it'll be a come up hither right after it. Man, that just gives me chill bumps thinking about that. You say, what would I be doing? Who knows, man? Sleeping, running, jogging, working, wishing you was in heaven, going through, puking your guts out because you're sick. Who knows? Laid on a deathbed, ready to go home. And all of a sudden, come up hither. Brother, you'll be comforted by those words then. And you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord for all eternity. Amen. He'll never leave his side. You say, what is that? Well, that ought to bring you comfort to know that this life will end. And all the joys that are temporal and all the hardships that are temporal will end. All the smiles that you can ever... I've had more good times than bad, amen? Somehow, though, the bad times stick with you better than the good times, whatever that's about. I can remember way more bad times than I could good times. But I guarantee you I've had more good times than bad. In the Lord, amen, not just doing what I thought was a good time, doing something for Him. The Lord's been good. He's been good to me. Now think about that, and I think about just being able to go home. and I really do long to go home. I'll stop and I'll just ponder about it. Just think about it. Just, I don't know, maybe it's today. Maybe it's tomorrow. God, right now would be good. Just go home. You say, you want the Lord just to be able to get the preeminence? No, I'm just selfish and I just want to go home for my sake. Just being honest, amen. I mean, it's not that him and his reigning and him get the recognition and him get the glory and he'd be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I do, honest to God, wish I had that pure of a heart for him to get all the recognition he deserves. It really is. I'm just get tired of failing him. And just go home. These words can give you comfort. These words can give you comfort because they are, you can write these down if you'd like to. I'm not going to, there's about five or six of them. I'll give you just this little list. For the sake of time, we're not going to run them all. In 2 Thessalonians 2:17, they're good words. Psalms 12:6, they're pure words. Just think, if you're not taking notes, just think about what I'm saying. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, they're good words. Psalms 12:6, they're pure words. Proverbs 15:26. They're pleasant words. Psalms 119:103, they are sweet words. 1 Timothy 4:6 says they're nourishing words. 1 Timothy 6:3, they're wholesome words. You say, what is that? Not one time in there was there a lie, something fake, something deceiving, something conniving, something backhanded where it's just a trick. There's a string attached. There's some kind of manipulation in a heart or a thought. That's what people do today. I'm going to tell you something, then I'm going to act another way because I want to elicit a response from you. Amen? You ever wonder why somebody cusses you? Because that has a predetermined response to that word. Amen? Everybody, 98% of you in here got it. If I say this, this is what that person should do. Amen. Well, what happens when somebody says that and you just say, well, praise the Lord, man. You're probably right. You know what that does? That infuriates somebody. Because that's not the response they are. Regardless, you see these words right here? They're not deceitful. They're not underhand. And the Lord didn't write them to elicit a response. You know what he wrote them for? For you just to try to give him glory on any given day. To give you comfort in a world which sucks all the life out of you. If you give your life and your heart over to the world, it'll take and it'll take and it'll take. And when it's done with you, it'll spit you out and it'll get somebody else. If you'll chase after the life and the money and the fame and the preeminence and all the praise that it does offer that, does it not? If not, watch a TV for 30 minutes. It offers all that. And then a person chases it and chases it and chases it till they're weary and they're wore out. And they spend all their money, spend all their time, spend all their joy, spend all their emotions, spend everything. And then when they're spent, they're just kicked to the curb and somebody else is drawn in with that lure. You know how the Lord does it? You just cast all your burdens on me. My yoke is easy. I'm not burdensome. Look this one up one day over in Luke 15 with the prodigal son. When you got time. The father with the prodigal son says they work one field, singular. You know what the prodigal son works when he goes out there into the world? He works the fields. It's plural. There's never rest. There's never any comfort. There's never any downtime. There's never any relaxation. There's never any renewing. It's always go, drive, work harder, press harder, harder, go. There's no rest. There's no entering into that rest. You know why people don't sleep? Because they don't have rest in the Lord. The worrisome, the problems, the issues that they're trying to figure out. He says, just cast them over on me. I'm not talking about insomnia if you have legitimate issues, amen. Go see a doctor. But just sitting there worrying about and just fretting over problems and issues and things. And you keep yourself up. And the whole time the Lord said, just cast it on me. I can handle your burden. I've already done it. Let me show you one more time that I can take it. Let me comfort you one more time, because I really do want to. I want to comfort you with these words. You know how you get comforted? Is you read some things about some people where the Lord did some things. That Old Testament, again, is littered with people who were fouled up and made mistakes and just went through hardships. I've got a list of things, man. I've got a list of people that have fouled up in the Bible that the Lord used mightily. Man, they turned the world upside down. They turned their cities and their country, and they just changed the whole scape of the land. You said an army? No. One person. One person that was fouled up that the Lord just changed in their heart because they were wanted to be. You say, well, you don't know my past. Well, praise the Lord, neither do you know mine. And I don't want to know. Amen? Trust me, you don't want to know. And I don't want to know yours unless you're going to give the Lord the glory for it. Just brag on Him through some things. Amen? You say, what is that? This whole Bible has people in here that He comforts. Over in John chapter 11, we're not going to turn there. In John chapter 11, the Lord's 2 days late. Amen? I mean, you got the account. He's 2 days late. Lazarus already dead. He's laid in the tomb. He's 2 days late. And they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, I wouldn't get the preeminence here. You'd just still be living life. I let these things happen for a reason. He's got the perfect timing, amen? And He's able to comfort somebody in that perfect timing that they never would have been comforted if they hadn't went through it. You ever thought about that? If you'd have never went through fill in the blank, the Lord never would have been able to comfort you. That's hard. You say, well, I would have chose probably not to go through it. Me too. Me too. I'd have chose for all these people that chose a hard life because the way of transgressors is hard, or just a hard life of living, even doing right. You read about David, him being a king that we're looking at and we're studying in 2 Samuel and 1 Samuel. You read about him being a good king, and he gets run off the throne, if you will. He just willingly backs down and leaves it. You read about Samuel having a hard life because people don't like him because he's living a good life. He's a righteous man. He never messes up. He's a sinner, amen. But he never does anything that's recorded that's just ultimately against God Almighty. But people don't like him. Amen. People don't like him. Saul didn't like him. There's other people that were weary of him. You say, what is that? If you're trying to do right, man, and people don't like you, praise the Lord. It's all throughout history like that. You say, what is that? You can get comfort by reading this book if you'll just do it. If you'll just do it. You say, well, I'm not a good reader. I got CDs of it. I got the whole Bible on CD. Amen. You can have it. Just come ask for it. You say, well, it's on YouTube. It's free. Amen. Majority of people got Wi-Fi. You got a phone. You can plug it up and listen to it as you drive, listen to it while you sleep. You can put it in there. Amen. Because faith here cometh by. Amen. Amen. Flip back to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, and last one. Now, also, just so you know, this is probably goes without saying, this is not some type of exhaustive study. I'm not even exhausting my notes, but I believe this is what the Lord would have me to say. These things that I'm showing you about the Bible causes you to hope and the Bible can give you comfort, they ought to be some things you can just start doing, reading and studying on your own, because it's a great big deep well. It's real deep of not only just the scriptures, but then the illustrations of people and how the Lord uses people and uses situations just to be able to comfort people, just to be able to give some people some hope. Think about that for a second. The psalmist here, I gotta read it first. Psalm 119:28. In Psalm 119, verse 28, it says, My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Now I want you to get something just for a second. You know, the psalmist, all he had, he didn't have a written book that he could go to. He had maybe the Torah, the laws, the first five books. Maybe they were combined. Probably didn't let any bobo by just random person have a copy of it. Probably in a temple somewhere. Then you had the minor prophets, and then you had the prophets, and you had all these historical books. We think about that. They're not in one book. They're just in every sporadically spread out. They're not just somewhere you can sit down and you can read for 15, 20 minutes a day, every day, and you can just get a complete canon. This psalmist here is saying, Lord, strengthen thou me according unto thy word, but it's limited to what I have. Do you know that you have a completed canon that's perfect, preserved word by God Almighty? And it doesn't always line up with how you think the Lord should strengthen you. The Lord will give you things that you don't even know that you need, just so he can give you strength. Don't turn there. Over in 2 Corinthians 12, I've quoted it and talked about it, I guess every time I preached. You got Paul over there with the thorn in the flesh, right? A messenger of Satan is... put this thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul so he won't get puffed up. Won't get puffed up with pride. And he says he has that thing, and he asked the Lord thrice. He besought the Lord three times to take it from him. And ultimately, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. Amen. Because in weakness, my strength is made complete. Something to that effect. Paul had to be weakened to a state that the Lord was able to use him to give him some strength. That's not how I would do it. Amen. Just give them the strength to begin with. It's almost like the military. Amen. And I saw this morning people been in the military. You go into boot camp. They literally do. They kind of beat you down to make you a moldable form of a person. They build you back up into what they want you to be. Amen. Ultimately, where'd they get that from? The Bible. Because the Lord's trying to beat, as a good father, according to Hebrews chapter 12, he's chasing those whom he loves, amen? He chastens them just like you do if you have a child that you love. You chasten them, and you try to change them, and you try to correct them, and you change them into something that they weren't originally. So having Paul go through that, and then giving him the strength, conforms him to more like Jesus Christ than he ever would have been prior to that thorn in the flesh. You think about that. I can look back on life and praise the Lord for some things that he put me through, allowed me to go through, put it like that. Whether it's my own volition or the Lord was just putting me through something just because I needed it. Usually it's my own volition, amen. It's just my own option. Lord, I want to do it my way. This is what we're going to do. And he says, well, go for it. I'll be waiting for you on the other side. Then we'll work it all back out, amen. And then I'll strengthen you because you'll be just a total wreck and a mess. Thank you. Appreciate that. But in doing so, he's changing. He's changing your heart. Lord, I see it's not my way. It's not my will to be done. It's thy will. It's not leaning to my own understanding. You look right back there in the verse that we just read in verse 28. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Not how I think it ought to be. Not how I think it should work. How the book says, how you say it should work out. We were talking about that, and I was thinking about when Brother Keith was preaching this morning, if I was a God, thank God I'm not, I wouldn't have sent my son. Amen. I like my boy. I wouldn't give him up for nobody. Probably not my own family. Much less some folks that hate me. You say, well, what is that? Well, the Lord's ways are not our ways, amen? Well, I mean, we've seen that all the time, all through the... It's not my wishes or my wants or my ways. It's the Lord's ways that he's able to strengthen you. And the problem with that is we have to change our mind and mode of thought. And that's what this book will do. And we talked about that over in Proverbs 16, that iniquity is purged by mercy and truth. You keep putting this book in, it'll change you. I wish it changed you overnight. But it's a way work in progress, amen? You ought to be able to look back in your life and you ought to be able to see where you once were and then thank God that you're not that anymore. I'm not talking about necessarily physically, but spiritually. It ought to be a gradual increase in of trying to have more compassion, trying to be more long-suffering, trying to have more joy in long-suffering, trying to just see people as a soul headed to hell, and they need compassion, they need help, they need hope, they need some things instead of big me, little you kind of deal. You ought to be able to see a gradual growth of righteous indignation of people who are against the Lord and be able to take a stand for Him. You ought to be able to see some things where you're changing, where you're growing in grace, where you're excelling and being like Him and less like you. You ought to be able to see those things. And if you can't see those things, you ought to just check you. The book's right, amen? The book can give you things, but if it can only give you things if you use it. Vance Havner said one time, old preacher, they used to put on medicine bottles they give you, it says, shake well before using. Amen. Sometimes the Lord really does have to shake you up before He can use you properly. But the problem with that medicine is if you don't use it, you won't get any better. We're talking about spiritual medicine, not physical. Amen. Spiritually. Look at Colossians chapter 1 real quick, and we'll be done, I believe. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to give you an illustration here. I'm going to give you an illustration of the Bible giving you strength and it not being our will or our way. In Colossians chapter 1, if you will, look around verse 9. We'll start in verse 9 and we'll just read a couple verses. We'll probably down to verse 13, I believe. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So I want to just show you how the Bible is not our way, and the Lord's way is not our way. However, if we do it the Bible way, it can strengthen us, it can give us help, it can give us some hope, it can give us comfort. Because in verse 9, this is a list of things that Paul is praying for these Colossian converts. Don't answer this, just think about it. It'd be a great list to pray not only for yourself, but for somebody else. Amen. Everybody wants to be in the will of God, amen. Don't answer it, but how often do you pray that you're in the will of God? The Lord just keeps showing you that. I'm just right here in your will. I'm just between the ditches. He moved Samson about the camp just wherever he wanted to go before Samson went off the rails. He just moved him about. You willing to be moved about? I'm not talking about like from job to job, house to house, but I don't know how that works. He just moves him about. Whithersoever he will, the Lord just moves. In verse 9, we'll read it again. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, not your own might, not your own will, not your own self, but unto Him," amen, "unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light," and it goes on. But you ought to think, when's the last time you just prayed some of those things for yourself? Just being honest. That's a pretty good list, amen? Usually we'll pick one or two of those things that we think we need, right? I don't even really know what I need. stay with me for a second. What happens if I really do need cancer? What happens if I need something that I probably couldn't handle? That I need to be pressed out above measure, as Paul was, to be done something with? What if you need something that you don't think you could handle? You say, why? For the glory of God. For his glorious power to be seen in you. Hey, that's hard. I want to clarify something. I ain't wishing for that. Amen. I'm pretty much wishing, Lord, you can pass me by on that one. However, that really is Bible, that I really don't know what I need. And so I've just prayed, Lord, give me strength. And I pray these things with the knowledge of his will and in wisdom and spiritual understanding. I walk worthy. That's a whole list of things you could study and just get sucked up in, the things that we need. We need that strength. And really, we think of strength as being some physical, tangible, physical thing. You look at Webster's Dictionary, there's 23 meanings of the word strength. You can apply a spiritual application to every one of those. There's all kind of things that you can be strong in besides physical strength, which fades away, amen? You might be able to do all kinds of things physically, and you might not be able to now, but you can be way stronger spiritually than you've ever been in your life. Because bodily exercise does profit little, amen? It does profit, just little. But it never says spiritual exercise profiteth little. At the judgment seat of Christ, it could profiteth for eternal wages. You could be so strong spiritually that you could bear other people's burdens and problems, and you don't even know it because you don't get the praise, you don't get the preeminence, you never get the accolades or even the thank yous. And that'd be just all right. Because it's not often that Christ gets the thank yous. There was 10 lepers that got healed. Only one thanked him. If that statistic be true, how often do you think you would be thanked? However, there's still people that need it. Could be sitting next to you, behind you, around you. They might not be here today because they couldn't make it. They need it. They need it. They might not even be strong enough to open up this book or listen because they're just spiritually weak because of their condition. And through prayer, because those that are strong can bear the infirmities of those that are weak, can just lift them up. There's way more things of being, of having help and hope and comfort and being strength than just you. We talked about and showed you that at the beginning. It's about others. You have those abilities, and the Bible is able to give you those things so you can exhibit that so somebody else can help and get a help. Amen. You could be the one in here that actually does need the help. And maybe that's for you. I'm not sure. I tell you what, if you will, let's all stand. We're not going to have any kind of invitation or piano playing. Just want you to think about some things. I just want to show you what the Bible can do. Again, nothing was